We are doing the Ntivot Shalom on Parshat Devarim, and the concept was Hashem Elokecha Imach Lo Chasarta Davar. What Moshe tells the Jewish people, so long as Hashem is with you, you have lacked nothing. And he began with the Magid Mikoznitz, who said that this parsha is always read on the days between Rosh Chodesh and Tisha B'Av. And one of the important points is the pasuk Yada Lechtecha, Hashem knows your journeys through this great desert, to remind us that even at a person's darkest hours, Hashem is with him. And that's the strength that's given to us, that Hashem is saying, now, during this period, the 9 days, the days of the destruction of the Jewish people, Hashem says, I'm with you. And then he had gone on to discuss that when the temple was destroyed, they entered and saw that the Kruvim were bound together, an indication of God's love. And he explained that there are three levels of love between a father and his son. When the child is with him and he is enjoying him, that's level number one. The higher level is when the child's at a distance and the father misses him. So then the love arouses in his heart for his son. And the third level, which is the highest level, is when the son is ill and the father is the doctor that has to operate on him. And the father's heart is torn within him in pain when he sees his beloved son wallowing in pain. And he has no choice. He must do the operation to save the child's life. At that hour, his love is as strong as it can be. And by the same token, God's love for the Jewish people is described as the love of a father to his child. And so at the time of destruction, when there was no choice but to afflict the Jewish people, to bring the destruction and the exile onto them, at that time specifically, God's love was aroused to its highest levels. And that's why the Midrash says that there was no moed, no set time for the Jewish people like the day that the temple was destroyed. Because then the internal love, that love that knows no bounds, was revealed. The concept that we are banim. Banim, the concept of our connection to God as a father, is an eternal connection, a connection that cannot be severed. We know that in our relationship to Hashem, there's the relationship of a king and his nation. When the nation rebels, the king can come with his forces and kill a whole city. Then he says, so what? You're not rebelling against my reign. But a son is something that's eternal. And that's the way he explained the prophecy of Yeshaya, that when Yeshaya says that the Jewish people are banim mashchitim, sons that have been destructive, he is telling us, even though you're destructive, you're still my sons. Because banim atem nashem elokeichem, that verse is nitzchiyut. That's eternal. Ukmo shepirshu ha-mefarshim, and like the Sephorno, the Ibn Ezra, the commentaries explain on the pasuk, banim atem nashem elokeichem lo titgodedu, שכאשר קורא לאדם אסון גדול, that when a tragedy happens to a person, ואין לו במה להתנחם, and he has nothing to comfort himself, the tragedy is terrible, what does he do? הרי הוא קורא את בשרו מעליו. So a person can sometimes be at a point where he feels like it's all destroyed, total loss. And at that point, he feels like all he has left to do is tear his own flesh. Tells us the Torah, we have a biblical prohibition from tearing our own flesh. Why? Hashem says, אבל אתם הרי בנים לשם אלוקיכם. You're my boys, God says. You're my children. ועל כן לא תתגודדו, therefore, you're never alone. You're never at a point where there's nothing left, so all a person can do is tear his flesh. כי האוהב הקרוב ביותר עליכם, because you have the closest lover. הוא השם יתברך, that's Hashem, האוהב אתכם יותר מאב לבנו, who loves you more than a father loves his son. ואין ראוי להראות תכלית הדאגה והצער, and therefore it is unfitting to show a complete worry or pain על הקרוב שמת over a relative that passed away. שנשאר קרוב נכבד ממנו במעלה. Because God says you have a closer relative. How could you treat this as a tragedy that's total loss? Everything is destroyed. It's not total loss. I'm still here with you. You remember the story we quoted from the Yerushalmi about that boy that was traveling in the ship. Everyone started praying to their idol. There was a storm at sea, and nothing worked, and the ship was on the verge of capsizing. They turned to the boy and they said, you're a Jew. we've heard about your God. Why don't you pray to him? And the boy started praying, and the tide subsided. So then they came to a port, and every one of the adults had somewhere to go, a bar to pick, or people to see. And the boy stood on the ship, and they asked him, why don't you come off the ship? And the boy said, because I'm all alone. And they said, you're not alone. You've proven Hashem is with you. You're never alone. We're sometimes alone, but you're never alone. That's this concept. Hashem says, you have no right to tear your flesh over the loss of a relative because you have someone closer. Hashem says, I'm here with you. You remember the story we quoted? It's not from Jewish sources, about the guy who comes to heaven and they show him the footsteps in the sand, two footsteps for every period in life. And then he sees it points in his life where there was one footstep. He turns to God and he says, what are the footsteps? God says, one's mine and one's yours. I walked with you throughout life. And the guy says, at all the difficult points in my life, where were you, God? I see only one footstep. God says, that's when I was carrying you. That's my footstep, you see. Banimatem Hashem Elokechem. Hashem says, you're my children. I'm always there with you. At the time when everything seems black, at the time of the 9 days, there's destruction, the people are being exiled, their daughters are taken, their sons are taken, their elders are being murdered. What's left? The people were exiled in shackles, naked, sold to slavery. The person loses his wife, his children, his family, his home, his territory, his kingdom, his temple. What's left? The man is left standing naked and shackled, sold as a slave. That's where the Jewish people were holding at the destruction of the temple. Hashem says, it's not over. I'm with you. Chazal say that the Navi Yechezkel came and said to the Jewish people, I see a vision. They asked him, what do you see? He said, I see the Shekhinah being exiled. They said, what do you mean? He said, the Shekhinah didn't remain in Israel. When we were exiled, God came with us. And at that point, they started rejoicing. They said, oh, so Hashem is with us? Yeah, that's this concept. Hashem is with us. And so we can explain when the verse says, God knows your journeys through the desert. The word yada, God knows, we know that biblically the term of knowing, that's a term of bonding. Just as it says, Adam knew Eve his wife. That the strength of bonding between Hashem and the Jewish people is existent eternally, even at the worst times. We know the generation of the desert is referred to as the generation of knowledge. Even though they did all those terrible sins in the desert, Nikraim him dol de'ah. They are referred to as the generation of knowledge. Knowledge as an intimate knowledge. And the Holy Zohar says that there was never a generation like that generation of the desert. There will never again be a generation like that. Because this concept of a generation of knowledge, that they had this trait of intimate knowledge, he had dvikut b'Hashem Yitbarach, that's their bonding with Hashem. Shayu dvukim b'Hashem Yitbarach tamid, that they had consistent bonding with Hashem. V'zeu omro lo chasalta davar, and that's what the verse says, you've lacked nothing these years. Shayu uchlim et haman hakadosh lechem abirim, they ate the holy man, which is referred to as bread of great warriors. V'shotim mayim min ha'be'er, they drank water from the miraculous well, and they're learning Torah from Moshe. Their bread they get from heaven, their waters they get from heaven, their Torah they get from Moshe. So they were always connected to Hashem. And like it says further in the Holy Zohar, they connected to Hashem like no other generation connected. And the Ramat Vali, the disciple of the Ramchal, explains in a pasuk ze, yada lechtecha et hamidbar. The verse says, God knew your journeys in the desert. Sharei pashutu shehashem yitbarach yodea et hakol. That's obvious. God knows everything. El Hashem yedia la lashon dveikut. But what the verse means to say is that God connected to you. Ki hayichud hakadosh nidbak imem bechol masehim. God, the holy singularity, connected to them. Uvimkom sheyesh hayichud hakadosh en machsom mikol davar. And where that is so, then you lack nothing. Bekoch ze. Now that we understand the concept, so he's turning to today. Bekoch ze, hu shomed liYisrael b'chol ha'itim. This strength is what stands by the Jewish people at all times. Shekasher Hashem Elokecha imach lo chasar tadavar. That when Hashem your God is with you, you've lacked nothing. Kasher yudid davuk b'Hashem itbarach. When a Jew bonds with Hashem, eino chaser klum, he lacks nothing. V'rak kasher hu magish b'nafsho. Only when he feels in himself, menutak m'Hashem itbarach. He says, I'm not connected. Hashem never says, I'm not connected to you. But sometimes we feel not connected. It starts down here. As chaser lo. Then he's lacking. Umeikim alav kol hatzarot. And all kinds of tzaros come on him. Kasher Yehudi margishu davuk b'Hashem yitbarach. When a Jew senses that he's connected to Hashem. Az gam ki elech begeitzem mavet. Lo ira ra ki ata imadi. Then he can say like David HaMelech said, even when I walk in the shadow of death, I fear not evil, for you are with me. V'zehu ha'koach shebechol makom shegalu Yisrael shechinah imahem. And that is the strength Chazal told us, wherever the Jews were exiled, the Shechinah was with them. Haynu ha'dveikut b'Shechinah. That is our connection with the Shechinah. Shemikocha amdu b'chol ha'galuyot v'lo chasar tadavar. That from that strength we were able to stand in all the exiles and we lacked nothing. And as we explained Rashi's words in the beginning of Vayechi, Lama Parshazo Stuma, Rashi says, why is there no break between the parsha of Vayechi and the previous parsha? It continues like a run-on sentence. L'fisha kevan shenikta Yaakov nistemu inayim v'lipam sheyisrael mitzarat ha-shibud. Rashi says, when Yaakov passed away, the eyes and hearts of the Jewish people were closed from the tzara of the forced labor. D'mashma shegam kodem lechem. It seems like even before Yaakov passed away, they were in trouble. They were in exile and they were working. But when Yaakov passed away, then it affected their eyes and hearts. But they were working even before he died. Because Yaakov was the source of connection to Hashem. So long as he was alive, he affected the others to connect to Hashem. Umemela lo agishu klal letzarot agalut. So they didn't sense, they didn't feel the tzara of the exile. Ve'av shekvar ayu bagalut, aval lo nistemu enem v'libam. And even though they were already in exile, they were in Egypt, but their eyes and hearts weren't closed. Ve'rak mi shenifta Yaakov v'nitla mehem chinat advekut shelo. And only when Yaakov passed away from them, and then they lost that aspect of his connection to Hashem, then their eyes and hearts were closed because of the shiabud. Zu ha'itza ha'gdola b'yoter l'amtakat ha'dinim. This is the greatest advice, says the Netivot Shalom, to take situations where a person's being taken to justice, a person's being, so to speak, in heaven, they take him to court, he wants to sweeten it. Hashem Elokecha imach. Remember, his point was, sometimes we feel, Keli, Keli, lama zavtani, Esther says. God, why have you left me? We have to know it's us. Have we left or have we not left? God is there waiting. Yisrael al kwa ba'im shana b'midbar. The Jewish people traveled 40 years in the desert. Eretz tziav ez tzalma v'chen shama'uma. A land of desolation, the shadow of death. There was nothing there. V'alchu b'koach. In what strength could they go in such territory? Shehashem Elokech Imach. Because they felt Hashem with them. Shehayu dvukim Hashem Yitbarach. They were connected to Hashem. V'chen hu aderech leYehudi b'chol matzavav. And this is the path for a Jew in all situations. Gam kshu b'cheshchot gdola. B'cheshchot gdola. Even when things seem very dark. Im b'gashmiyut v'im b'ruchniyut. Be it dark physically, be it dark spiritually, sheyeh davuk b'Hashem yitbarach. The first step is to connect. V'yeh Hashem Elokecha imach, and then Hashem is with you, sh'az lo chasar tadavar, then you lack nothing. This is the end of what the Netivot Shalom says. I want to add 2 points. Yeah?
Well, how does the factor work? experience, just a feeling connected to Hashem, the sort of practical of the sun, and the being of Hashem. Okay, is that right?
Yeah.
What's the practicality of climate?
So I think, in order to apply this practically, we have to draw upon what the Netivot Shalom said in other Parshiyot.
How do people then?
Oh, so there's the Sur Mira and there's the Aseh Tov. When does a person feel distance? So there are a few reasons. One is, what? Okay, but when bad things happen, so a person can go in one of two routes. He could go on daven, or he could start thinking, why is Hashem doing this to me? Now, it's not necessarily wrong to think, why is Hashem doing this to me? We have to learn from it. But we also have to talk to Hashem. Sometimes a person gets angry. Sometimes a person feels like, I'm so far away, we're not connected anymore. What? So that, I think, is the point. Meaning, it's like a child whose parent punishes him. So the child feels like he doesn't love me anymore. But if he turns around and he sees the parent looking over his shoulder to make sure he doesn't fall, well, then it's different. You know, one day this week, I was arguing with my son to put lunch in his knapsack. And I'm telling him, put your lunch in, the ride's going to come in and then you have to go out. He said, no, I'll get there. I said, put it in so you have it, because when you run out, you might forget it. So he was busy explaining to me why he doesn't want to eat breakfast. To make a long story short, after 5 minutes, he runs out and he leaves his lunch at home. I come back in after buckling him into the car. I see his lunch is in the fridge. He didn't eat breakfast, he didn't eat lunch, neither one. So I called up his Rebbe and I asked him if they could arrange for him a sandwich in school. A child can walk out of the house and feel like, oh, my father's upset, I didn't eat breakfast, and he told me I'd end up forgetting my lunch, and look, he was right, I did, I forgot my lunch. So now, I mean, it's not so healthy for a child to go, but it's 6 hours in the morning, the whole night he's sleeping, he's not eating, another 6 hours without eating, right? But then he could suddenly see, wait a second, he's looking over my shoulder. The Gra quotes a Midrash that says that was the concept of Megillas Esther. What was Esther? Why was Esther so powerful to the Jewish people? Because here they saw destruction. Here they saw that temples destroyed, as we discussed earlier, they're being led in shackles naked to slavery and to exile. What did the Jewish people say? Lama lanetzach tishkachenu? Why are you forgetting us for eternity? When destruction comes to a person's life, his first instinct is, God's forgotten me, God's forsaken me. He's not with me. So the point that Tivot Shalom said here is, he's still with us. Mashal lemad davar domeh, says the Medrash, a child, a prince, gets his father angry. His father warns him again and again and again, and he keeps doing it. He tells him, you know, I'm going to banish you to the woods. And the child says, no, he keeps doing his ways. Finally, the father says, I've had it. Throws the kid out to the woods, takes him out to a faraway forest, and says, that's it, you're here. And rides away. The king prepares his soldiers and he tells them, you keep a distance, he's not allowed to see you. He has to learn his lesson. But whenever you see danger coming, you save him. So the kid, there are two different versions to the Midrash. One version says that the kid's walking through the forest weeping, how can my father do this to me? Where is he? How could he leave me alone? I don't have anything to eat. I don't have anything to wear. And he starts looking for berries, something to eat, and a bear comes along, and he's in danger, and the bear's about to kill him, and suddenly a king soldier comes in, kills the bear, and keeps riding. He says, whoa, close, cool. Thank God the soldier that night came by. He keeps traveling, and one of the king's advisors was always plotting to kill the kid, to kill the heir, and he finally thinks he's found his chance, and he shows up with an axe, and he starts heading towards the boy, and the boy has nowhere to run, and suddenly a knight shows up, kills the advisor, and rides off into the sunset. The boy says, whoa, what a close call. And then the boy starts thinking, and he says, that wasn't a coincidence. You know, 2-3 times this happens, he says, no, I know what's happening here. My father has to teach me a lesson. But he's not leaving me to the dogs. Another version of the mentor says that he's traveling at night and it's raining and he can't see where he's going. And he thinks he's going to die and he's weeping and he thinks it's all over. And suddenly there's lightning. And when there's lightning, he sees in the distance the king's soldiers are there keeping an eye on him. So that's the story of Megillas Esther, the mentor says. Megillas Esther was a reminder. you have to undergo this. People died. People were sold into slavery. People lost all of their wealth. They lost their homes. But I'm still with you. Dodi, my beloved, mitzitz mi ben acharkim. Hashem says, I'm looking through the cracks. I'm there. I'm keeping an eye on you. That's the concept of Yosef's psamim. Yosef is being sold naked into slavery. He's going to be taken for prostitution. The men in Egypt want a good-looking boy.
It's
what the Chazal say. And it seems like he's destined for a miserable life now. And God sends him a chariot with the son. He's going down to Egypt instead of the way Egyptians usually take someone down with hides, with stinky hides. He's going down with perfume. What does he care if there's perfume or not? At every moment in our lives, even at moments of punishment, Hashem sends us a little tap on the back. I'm with you. The question is, will we open our eyes or not? That's the concept. Hashem says, I am with you. There's no moment when a person can say there's nothing. At the darkest times, if a person will only open his eyes and heart, gam ki yerech begeit san mavet, a person, it's up to him to recognize ki atayim adi. That's a person's choice. A person can see it, a person could not see it. The dvekut Hashem, I think the first point, and I think this is the point he's alluding to, is the idea that he's with me. I might have walked away from him, but it's like the father. So you call and you ask the Rebbe, can you arrange for him a sandwich? Hey, you're not upset at the kid. You want what's good for the kid. Right? No, I'm serious. So the kid walks into school and he says, oh, the old man was right. Right? But that's not what's going on here. I'm saying it's the same thing. We say Avinu Malkeinu. Hashem sometimes is, we treat him like a melech, but he's Avinu. That's the point he's saying, and that's eternal. That never changes. So sometimes a parent has to show a tough face to the child. But that was his point, even that stems from love. Even that's the parent who says, I have no choice. I have to operate on my boy. It's for his benefit. That was the Chuban Beit HaMikdash, and that's a Chuban in a person's own life. Sometimes he's saying, the guy, there's no choice, okay? If there's no choice, it has to come. But now it's up to the boy to look at when there are flashes of lightning, to look like Yosef and see the psamim. Chazal say that Yosef in Potiphar's house, he's a slave. He's the lowest of the low. They won't even eat at the same table as him. He's a Hebrew. They're all pagans, and he's a monotheist. They look down at him. But whatever he's doing, he's connected to Hashem, like you said, in Tfilah. Chazal say he was constantly whispering things to the point that Potiphar said, what are those incantations? Are you trying to do some sorcery on me? He was constantly whispering. He was with Hashem. That's a person's choice in life. I think we could take another concept that we saw earlier in the Netivot Shalom, and that is the concept that sometimes the Yetzer Hara tries to pull us down by our past. He says, you think God wants you? You think you're connected to God? Look at what you've done till now. That was what Vatitveseu Bevigdo, you remember the Netivot Shalom?
Yeah, was that Potiphar's wife?
Like, right, Potiphar's wife. Sometimes a person has to say, I'm the future of the world. I know I have a past. She grabbed him, how did he explain? She grabbed him and said, who are you kidding? You can't, I know you have a history. Come on, you know what you've done in the past. She tried to bring him down, in the areas where he was a bogeid. And the response to that is, we're still connected. God has no better representative than me. Now I have to show it. So I'll show it now. I'll show it by standing up to this test and the next one. So that's what I'm saying. He doesn't explain it. But I think if we use the concepts that we've learned in the previous parshiyot, I think these are directions that we can apply and see what he's saying. There's more to say, but I think the prime point that he's making here is this point. Sometimes when bad things happen, a person feels like, oh, he's kicked me out. It's not like that. He's looking over the shoulder. He might have had to do something, but that was his point. Hashem is always standing there watching and waiting and loving. And I think when we add to that the other points, then it's up to a person to see it. It's not easy. but it's in small things. It's like Yosef's psamim. But that's my opinion. It doesn't say that. I think he does say it when he points out that the Shekhinah is there. It's the person who has severed. The Shekhinah never severs the tie with the person. I think that's Yada Lechtecha. Hashem is intimately connected with you. Whether you're connected to Him, that's our choice. And that's also what This point is not his own. This is the point that the Sefer HaKarim, Rav Yosef Elbow, writes about the concept of Midat Adin and Midat Rachamim. He says, God doesn't move. We move. When we say our prayer moves Hashem from Din to Rachamim, what we really mean is, it's supposed to elevate us, that we will deserve Rachamim, that we will move beyond the level of Din. I think that's the point. That point, I think, is what he meant to say, even though he didn't elaborate on that. Yeah?
No, I was just wondering, like, what about physical, like you said, like, if you have to correct your somebody, you have to show them a tough face, but, like, how, what's the limit of a tough face? Does that mean, like, physical punishment is allowed as well? Actually striking, which I don't agree
with. So that's what we said we'll discuss tomorrow, as to how, what the balance is. It's generally we do every other way, meaning the more useful ways. Tova mirdut beleva adam yoter me'elef malchuyot. Right, the Gemara says one feeling that's from within the heart is better than a 100 or 1,000 lashes from outside. Meaning we want the effect internally, and that's more powerful than the external. Sometimes the only way to get there is externally, but our goal is internal, and so it's much better to try and affect internally. That's what the Gemara says.
Wow. Yeah, it says if you have to strike a child with someone with shoelace.
I don't know. You know, there are different guidelines for different generations. Our generation is on such a low level that it's unclear that a parent could strike a child. It's unclear that parents are going to do it correctly, with the correct intent and the correct way. That's why some educators say that even though previous generations used it, in our generation it backfires. There's a difference between a 2-year-old who's playing with matches and running into the street and a 12-year-old. It's difficult to give guidelines just in a vacuum. So.